Please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. It is a joy to be here once again. We appreciate the invitation to come. And what a tremendous illustration Brother Creed gave about reaching the children, and then how God used that to reach adults. And our choir used to sing, "Do what you can where you are." There's another way to say that, bloom where you're planted. And there are open doors everywhere, every continent. There is a town, Spanish Springs, Nevada, near Reno, a fairly new town that has sprung up beside Reno, 35,000 people. And there is no Bible preaching church at all in that place. We need a pastor in Carson City, Nevada. The pastor has cancer. He's passed away recently, I believe. And someone needs to fill the shoes and take charge of that ministry. 55,000 people in Carson City. And if you'll open your eyes and be available to God, then certainly God will use you. There's no question about that. We always enjoy being here at any time of the year because we get to see people we know. It's encouraging. And Ambassador Baptist College, what a place. It's a great place. And I thank God for it. I sense a good spirit, a sweet spirit among the students and faculty. I'm thankful for your interest in the work of the Lord. I've mentioned this to you before, but I'm glad that you're not in a big city. You can come apart. You can pull away and be in this place to concentrate on your studies and getting all that you can. And I'm glad that you're here. We're glad to see so many missionary friends and people who are fellow servants in the work of the Lord. But I hope you'll write down this thought. You are only as valuable to God as you are available to God. If you're not available, how can you have any value? So I trust that you will make yourself fully available to God and be sincere about it. I was in a small town in southern Illinois, and as I drove into the town, I saw something I've never seen before or since. I saw a wrecker pulling a fire truck. I've never forgotten that. And I said to my wife, "I wonder what would happen if we called 911. I've never seen that anywhere. And when you talk to God, be sincere about it. And if you'll hitch your vehicle to His power, things will happen. But that was an unusual situation. Please follow me in Colossians, the first chapter, and I would like to speak to you on this subject, Christ is all. Notice, please, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created." And pick out the word "all" as we read, please. "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." The book of Colossians is all about the preeminence of Christ. It's one thing for a person to be prominent. There have been many prominent people. I guess there was a time when Marilyn Monroe was prominent and John F. Kennedy prominent and Muhammad Ali. And I don't know any of the later versions, but they're very prominent. And yet Jesus is preeminent. In chapter 1, his preeminence is declared. In chapter 2, his preeminence is defended. In chapters 3 and 4, his preeminence is demonstrated. So the main emphasis of this book is Jesus Christ, and we must crown him Lord of all. The Lordship of Christ. There was some debate about that some years ago, and I'm sure some of those, many of those who were debating the terminology, maybe had not settled in their hearts the Lordship of Christ. And there will never be a missionary to serve anytime, anywhere, until they settle the Lordship of Christ. There will never be a pastor, there will never be an evangelist, until they settle the matter of Christ's lordship. Years ago, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. tells about being in a revival meeting. They were having morning services, and different people would stand and give testimonies, and there was a sweet spirit in the place that morning. And there was an elderly man who tried to get to his feet. You could tell he was trying to get up so he could say something. And finally, he got to his feet and he said, "Dr. Bob, I'm an old man now. I don't have much. My wife has already gone to heaven. Our children are married and they have their own families now. I'm living on a pension. And about all I have left is Jesus." And he sat down. In a minute, you could tell that he forgot to say something. He's trying to get back up. And he pulled, and it took some effort for him to get back to his feet. And he stood back up and said, "Come to think of it, he's about all I need." And Jesus is not only enough for salvation, he's necessary for salvation. He's necessary and he's enough, both. He is indeed our all in all. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. He is the Lord of those who will repent and believe. And never, never will we have a missionary until that point is settled in their lives. According to our text, Christ is all in all in creation. You see that in verse number 16. By him all things were created. In the earth, under the earth, all things created for him and by him. By him all things consist. That is, everything is held together by the power of God. And the elements, the molecules, would not stick together were it not for the preeminence of Christ, according to this verse of Scripture. John 1:1. Say it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And was God. In John 1:3, all things were created by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He's the Lord of creation. You're not the product of evolution. You're the product of a special creation of God. And you and I would have never taken a step were it not for God's sovereign plan. We would never breathe another breath were it not for God and the fact that he is the preeminent sovereign one who allows us to live. And we reject theistic evolution. We reject evolution of any description. One old preacher called it devolution. I don't know about you, but there are no accidents with God. And God has allowed us to be born. And this business that leaves God out of the picture of creation is a bad thing, and it is not true, and God's Word stands supreme. But also notice that Christ is our all-in-all in revelation. The Bible is God's revelation to man. And if you take Jesus out of the inspired Word, you don't have a Bible. Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. Inspiration. The Bible does not contain the Word. The Bible is the Word of God. And we praise Him for giving us a blueprint in which to live. I see my Lord in the Bible whenever I chance to look. He's the theme of the Bible, the center and heart of the book. The Rose of Sharon and the Lily Fair, whenever I open the Bible, the Lord of the Bible is there. You can find Him in this book. And He's all in on all in the Word of God. And you never learn the true meaning of a passage until you find Jesus in the text. And He's in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, Jehovah Elohim, plural, in the beginning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's there, Genesis 1:1. He's in Revelation 22, the last chapter, the last verse, in the word grace. You cannot have grace without Jesus. And so He is our all in revelation. And notice that He is likewise our all in salvation. He is our justification. He is our regeneration. He is our sanctification. He is our rest and our redeemer and our propitiation. And if you take Jesus out of any aspect of salvation, you do not have real salvation. He's all in salvation. My theme song when I get to heaven is going to be this: Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. And it's all about Him. Salvation is of the Lord. It's based on a person. Not a denomination, but it's based in a person. And that person is Christ Jesus the Lord, who is our all in all. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. It's as simple as that. Jesus is necessary, but Jesus is also enough. Years ago, a Chinese Buddhist student came to New York City to study, New York University, and he thought while he was in the United States from Japan, he would study the religions, and he studied Protestantism, and he studied Christianity in the U.S., and he decided that he would go to the famous Riverside Baptist Church in New York City. It's a big, beautiful building. The architecture is something to be... we would praise the architecture of the place. A big, beautiful edifice is there, built with John D. Rockefeller money, right on the river, Riverside Baptist Church. And so he heard the pastor preach Sunday after Sunday. The pastor was Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick. And that church would look all over the world to try to find the most liberal preacher they could find. And he made the conclusion that Buddhism is just another system of religion, and Christianity is likewise just another system of religion. It depends on the do's and the don'ts. And then things turned about in the summer for him to go to Toronto, Canada. And he studied at the university in Toronto. And he found a church who was pastored by old Dr. T.T. Shields, who was a Bible-believing man. And he preached that a man could be saved by Christ and His shed blood, that Jesus died to pay our sin debt. And that young Japanese Buddhist student asked an usher, "Would it be possible for me to speak to the pastor?" "Oh yes, the pastor would be happy to speak to you." He met him in the vestibule of the church. And the student said, is it true that Christ died for my sins? He suffered in my behalf. Is that true? And old Dr. Shields said, son, you'd better believe it's true. God said it, and it's settled in His Word, and this is His inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word. Salvation is in Him. And that student fell on his knees and received Christ as Savior because he heard the good news. By the way, I took a number of years later a group of people to see the Riverside Baptist Church. And a member, a lady, led the tour. And she showed everything about the work. And after the tour, I asked the lady, are you a member here? Yes. How long have you been a member? 7 years. May I ask if you've ever heard from the pulpit of Riverside Baptist Church something about the new birth, maybe something from John the 3rd chapter, how that a man must be born again? And she looked at me and replied, I've been a member 7 years and I've never heard anything like that coming out of the pulpit of our church. And I'm telling you, we must go and give the gospel. We have the bread. We have the water of life. And Jesus is just too good to keep a secret. We must go to the regions beyond, from street to street, from shore to shore, from state to state, telling people about Him who is the altogether lovely One. And Christ is our all in all in creation, in revelation, our all in all in salvation, but also Christ is our all in all in expectation. I'm not sure what will take place with the presidential election, but I'll tell you what I am sure. The King of Glory is coming, and He's coming just as He said. And Jesus came the first time as He said. He'll come again as He said. I don't know what the Democrats will do. I don't know what the Republicans will do. But I know what the Lord Jesus is going to do. He's going to reign just like He said. He's our all in all in expectation. You're not left as an orphan. You're a child of God. You've been adopted into His family. And He is not going to leave you to go through this sin cursed earth. He's coming, and there will be a great getting up morning, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And if you know the Lord Jesus, I'm telling you, you're going up, and we shall forever be with the Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. And I say again, if you're not settled on the Lordship of Christ, it'll be difficult for you to say yes and surrender to serve God full time in any facet of ministry. Here it is. If you have everything but you do not have Jesus, in essence you have nothing. But if you have nothing, but you do have Jesus, in essence, you have everything. He's all that He claims to be. There are no disappointments in Him. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has occurred to Him? He's never scratched His head and said, oh, I forgot about 2012. I should have written another book. No, all that we need is in the Bible, right here, right now. It ever lives. It is relevant. And it is alive, and it is for us. Can you tell me why Adoniram Judson stayed on the field, Burma, for 38 years and went through what he faced? Why would a man do that? He had a brilliant mind. Adoniram Judson, an independent Baptist missionary. He went to Burma in 1813. It was extremely dangerous. It was a place of no religious toleration. There was malaria and cholera. And he came home one time in 38 years. Now that does not mean that you're unspiritual if you come home more than one time in 38 years. But he graduated head of his class, Brown University, at the age of 19. that was 1807. And Judson preached and told about Jesus everywhere he went in Burma. And people sought him out. They would ask the question, where can I find the Jesus man? Where can I find him? They didn't know his name, but they knew he was the Jesus man. In 1823, Judson married Anne. Anne was his third wife. First two wives passed away. Had 13 children by three wives. And he fell in love with a girl named Anne. And he wrote a letter to Anne's father. May I have permission? Will you grant consent to marry Anne? If you give consent, you may never see your daughter alive again. And he didn't. We're going to a very dangerous place. And the father said, Anne, I don't know what to tell you. I've never had any person to write and ask if they could marry my daughter and take her to such a foreign place under such adverse conditions. And I trust you, and you follow God. And if you feel it's God's will, then it's all right. You have my blessings. Well, he never saw his daughter alive again. Judson, it is said, had converts that totaled 109 million people. You can trace it back to the ministry of Adoniram Judson. And he had prayed for his lost brother to be saved. And he got word that his brother had died. It took 8 months to get the message. And he went into a depression. Lord, I prayed for my brother, and now he's gone. And it is said that he dug an open grave and sat at that grave. They had to move to Rangoon, 300 miles inland. He turned bald. He lost his hair from malnutrition. He sat at an open grave in spiritual depression. And before anyone should become critical of that, you walk in his shoes and then pass your judgment. And then he finally received word. Judson, before your brother died, he received Christ as his Lord and Savior. And Judson got all stirred and revived in his soul and went on with his work. I'll tell you, I wouldn't mind being accused of being a charismatic at least once a year. At least thank God that no, I'm still alive. What do you think would make Judson do something like that? I'll tell you, he understood that Christ was Lord, Lord of all. Is he your Lord? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? We had a young man in our church. His name was Gerald Derrick. And I reached Gerald and his mother and his brother, got all of them coming to church. And Gerald Derrick had the worst speech impediment of any person I've ever known. I would ask him Sunday morning, Gerald, how are you? And for him to say, fine, his whole body would jerk, shake. And it was hard for him to say, fine. I stopped asking him. He came to the altar one Sunday morning. He was weeping. I knew God had done something in his life. And so I spoke to him after the service. Gerald, what is the Lord doing? Why did you come? It took a while, but he said, I can help you. I can drive a bus. I want to help you. And that's a dangerous thing to say to a Baptist pastor. The state troopers taught him how to drive the bus safely. We used to have bus driver rodeos and things like that, and air brakes, and you need to know a little something about the air pressure, or you lock up the bus in the middle of the road. And so he went through all the training, 6 weeks of soul winning, and he was given a bus, and he started to work, and he was very successful. He didn't stop with the children. He went on and got the moms and dads. And one Sunday he had 90 people, another bus. It took two buses. One bus followed the other. Fill this one up and then fill up the second bus. And he averaged bringing 50 people to the house of God every Sunday for 20 some odd years. The governor of the state somehow heard about him because I guess he had a state job on the highway department. And the governor, who was David Beasley, came and gave a word of testimony. And the church bought him a new suit, which I doubt he needed. And his wife was given a nice new dress. I doubt if she needed that. But anyway, to be kind to the governor, all of that was given, and the governor gave a clear testimony of knowing Christ as his Savior. And then he said, I didn't come to talk about me. Gerald Derrick, would you please come forward? And Gerald, with a funny face and crooked teeth, slim, tall, lanky, made a few strides got on the platform, and the governor presented him the Order of the Palmetto, the greatest honor you can receive in the state of South Carolina. And Gerald was so embarrassed. He said, thank you, and received that nice presentation. I said, Gerald, would you let me visit with you one Saturday morning? I want to see how you do it. God's blessed your work and you're doing so well. We visited 2 or 3 hours together, came back to the church, pulled up to the parking lot, and I said, Gerald, please let me ask you this one question. What is the key to your success? God has blessed your ministry. You're having people saved. You're reaching people that I can't reach. When I go to see these people, they run out the back door. They think I'm FBI. They think I'm a bill collector. And you can reach them. But they don't have time for me. What is your formula for success? And Gerald Derrick, I'll never forget. Gerald Derrick said, Jesus is my Lord. That's all. If it had been me, I would have written a book. I would have prepared a dissertation. But old Gerald, Jesus is my Lord. And if you're going to serve, if you're going to be available to serve, you must come to the place where it's all settled. He is my Lord. I've told about Wong Ming Dao before in chapel some years ago, but it's such an amazing story. Would you let me share with you again? I had a burden to get Bibles to the people of mainland China. I asked Roland Simeon's son if he would go and lead us and help us. Roland was born in China, and he knew the language, and he agreed to go. I said, we'll buy your ticket, we'll pay your way, if you'll go and help us. And he agreed to go, but he had a heart attack a few days before time to leave. He couldn't go. I said, will you write on a piece of paper in Chinese, this is a Bible, this is a gift for you, yes or no? Write it in English and write it in Mandarin Chinese. And we tried to catch a young couple off to the side, being discreetful. And we always tried to find a man and wife, if possible. Our suitcases were heavy with Bibles. And we'd offer Bibles to a young couple standing off to the side. I'm telling you, they received a Bible and never took a step. They opened that Bible and started reading for the first time, I guess, they ever own their own Bible. They stood right there and started reading. And then I had read a book by this title, These Stones Not Yet Made Smooth, by Wang Mingdao. I wanted to visit him. I said to the group, please stay here. I'd like to go visit Wang Mingdao. I found his granddaughter in California and asked her how to find him. And she told me how to get to him. I walked up three flights of steps and knocked on the door. And there stood his wife, a little short, elderly Chinese lady. And when I told them who I was and why I was there, I couldn't have been treated any better if I'd been the Apostle Paul. I went in, no carpet on the floor, no food in the cupboards, no decorations on the wall. And he told me about the three-self church. And he told me about being in the concentration camps in the cold north of China. We had a visit for about 2 hours that was nearly sacred. He's about 80 years of age at that time. He died 2 years later. And I finally said after 2 hours, Pastor, I need to go back. But before I go, is there anything in the world that I can get for you? He was almost blind. His wife was almost deaf. I thought about hearing aids, eyeglasses. They stood in Mao suits after Mao Zedong. Maybe that's all they had to wear. We could put a truckload of groceries in there. We could have put clothes in that little apartment. And he looked at me with a big smile. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have Jesus, and I have everything. He wanted to pray. You could hear their arthritic bones crack as they knelt. He knew how to call on God in his mother tongue. And oh, how he prayed. The sweetest, most earnest prayer. I helped them stand, and he got a twinkle in his eye. I knew he was thinking about something, like a little boy at Christmas. And I said, tell me what you're thinking. He said, it's been a long time since I've had anybody to sing with me. He had not seen his wife in 17 years, put in prison for her faith. He served 23 years for his faith in Christ and preaching Christ. What would you like to sing? I'll sing with you all night if you'd like. He said, let's sing Onward Christian Soldiers. He said, they let me out and they thought I was too old to do any damage. But last Sunday, this apartment was packed full. I've already started another house church. And there is one who found out that Christ is Lord of all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your infallible word. We thank you, Lord, that you are who you claim to be. And dear Lord, we've never had anybody to do for us what thou hast done. And we pray that you'll speak to every heart, every student, every person here, every pastor, every missionary representative. May the Holy Spirit work among us and do exploits in our midst. We're nothing without thee. I can do nothing without Jesus, but with him all things are possible. And I pray that you'll touch hearts, O Lord. And we promise not to take any of the glory, but to praise thy holy name. And dear Lord, would you, as the Lord of the harvest, put another laborer into your harvest field? Thou art eternal, sovereign God, who never makes a mistake. And may our hearts be genuinely open. And dear Lord, take these verses and embed them deeply into our souls. And bless as we give the invitation time. And may we obey the Lord of glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.